It's time for ESPN Las Vegas legal insider Justin Watkins with Battle Born Injury Lawyers, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Four o'clock hour. Justin Watkins is in. We're getting the Koken vibes again. I don't know if you saw, I posted our vast digital crew posted a video of you last week with the man under the hat look. And boy, oh boy, did you nail that one. And thank the Lord, you and Alex White saved me. What a disaster the Bengals were going to be if I took them. Plus the Vikings. Easy.
That was a. I did not have a great week. Two and three in college, 1-1 in the pros, which is my first losing week for college this year. But I felt very strongly. I did bet my biggest bet on Minnesota to cover the 3 points against the Bengals. Again, just like we talked about, I just don't think that Wentz is a big drop off, if any drop off from McCarthy. But I did. We have two picks in Survivor. I did lose a Survivor pick. We went with Green Bay. Yeah. Outthought the room. We went into a meeting. I got a group of guys. Went into a meeting deciding between Seattle and Tampa, and somehow came out of that meeting selecting Green Bay. So we lost one ticket. We were still alive in the other.
I asked you if that was a different hat. I referenced him as Kangol because that's what Koken had. Kangol Kid. Are you trying different brands?
Are
you now starting brands? It looks like the shirt is sort of coordinated.
Sure.
This is big. This is like adult male. I don't do this stuff. The coordination thing. You're trying to do it.
I'm trying. I've got two different brands, but I need to go with the brand that you just said. Was it Kangol?
Yeah, Kangol.
Okay, that'll be the next one I get. I got this brand. This one's not. This one's out of Boston. Boston Scally Company.
Makes sense.
Okay.
I would never buy it, but that's
fine. Okay. And then I got one that I really like. It's probably the most comfortable one, but a little bit ugly, and I like that. I like that it's ugly. Is out of Poland. What I did not like.
You're going international for these. You're going to really have a hat collection.
Yeah. What I didn't like about it is that I had to pay the tariff to the UPS driver when they arrived.
Wait, what?
And they said on the website tariffs were included, but the UPS driver, he was like, yeah, you got to pay $14.
You have to send it to the government now?
I don't know. I had to pay
Tom wants that. You better give it to him.
I know.
It's part of this, war chest we're building.
I was like, what does this mean? What is that right? I was like, the website said all tariffs were included. He's like, no, I can't give this
Stop.
To you. Yeah.
This is not a work?
Yeah. UPS, man.
So you're telling me Granny is getting her meds from Canada, and then the freaking UPS guy's like, let's go, Granny.
So.
Pony up.
I guess so. It's the only international thing I purchased through the mail. And you know,
who knew?
I didn't. So I'm done with the Polish brand. I'm gonna work back domestic. We'll find something.
I like it. Justin Watkins in studio. It's his studio. Battleborn Broadcast Center every day. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. Couple legal stories, and then I want your angle on there's a Vegas take, which is kind of spreading across the country. The Suns are a mess. Last time we talked about the Suns was with Sophie Cunningham and some, I don't know what he was. There was accusations by someone. She got involved and it got all misconstrued.
The president, right? It was with the president.
Yeah. Note the other day from a dude in the LA Times. Phoenix Suns, while facing several lawsuits from current and ex-employees, told employees this spring that in order to retain their jobs, they needed to sign an agreement limiting their ability to sue the team. Your advice as an attorney, what do you do when companies come to you and they're like, hey, you know what? Sign away your rights.
Yeah, I mean, there are some rights that are enforceable and some that are not. So depending on each state's jurisdiction, they have different employment laws. So there's a lot of times I'll get asked advice on this, and I don't practice in employment law, but obviously I have a network of lawyers who do. And in over the years, I've gotten a lot of direction from them. It'll have to do with non-disclosures or non-competes or non-disparagement or non-solicitations. And, you know, these employment attorneys can steer you really well as to what's enforceable and what's not. They'll be like, it's funny to hear them talk about it. They're like, yeah, go ahead and sign that. It's not enforceable. Don't worry about it. So a lot of term, and the corporations know it. When they write those terms in, they know it's not enforceable, but they know that most people won't seek legal advice and know their rights or not. So they'll just look at the contract and be like, oh, I guess I can't sue because of that, and have no idea that they couldn't enforce those terms of the contract. So it depends heavily upon the state you're in. It depends heavily on the position that you're being put in and that you're applying to. If you're part of management, if you're part of partnership, if you're part of ownership, there are a lot more restrictions that they're allowed to put onto your employment than if you are a lower tiered under management position.
Another legal story, and again, it involves eligibility in college football, which UCO experienced, and it's another UNLV player. We talked about Jack Haas, the center, who challenged for more eligibility in the state of Nebraska. He did not win.
Mm-hmm.
Jed Elad challenged in the state of New Jersey, went from UNLV to Rutgers. He's got to get that PFF score up. Come on now, Jed. But he's playing. He's playing. And now Tat Martinson, who was a real good run stopper, you know, stout poly kid with UNLV, he's challenging. And it actually sounds, I mean, he's not going to play this year, but I saw one legal expert saying, hey, you know what? He's got a good case here.
Oh, yeah. He's got a good case. And the judge has agreed that it's a good case. You know, the judge has had some preliminary rulings on this. And the opinion is, NCAA, you're arguing on this eligibility that you have this unique market in, you know, amateur athletics or student athleticism. And the court rejects that and says, nope, you're in the labor market of athletics. You're not unique at all. There's all kinds of labor market for athletics. There are, you know, you go talk about the English Premier League all the way down into teens. You talk about all the pro sports. What you are doing, you are no different. You are using a labor market to profiteer off of sports. And as such, it's due for an antitrust analysis. Now, here's the tricky part about the antitrust. Does limiting eligibility to 5 years with four to play, is it anti-competitive behavior? And I don't know that the answer to that is yes. And so I think you're going to see for quite some time, as we've predicted on this show for years now, many lawsuits in many jurisdictions with many different opinions that come out. Some win, some lose. And then they'll go to appellate courts. And those won't all align and be equal in their decisions and analysis. And then eventually we'll work our way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court will make a decision that will apply to some of the cases, but not all the cases. And what I mean by saying all this is that we are going to be in litigation for the foreseeable future, decades, possibly, unless the one thing happens, which we've talked about and seems to be gaining some traction, unless there's collective bargaining. If they collectively bargain with the student athletes, then all the antitrust exemption analysis basically go away.
Jeff Parles, Cofield, Justin Watkins, we're here at the Battleborne Broadcast Center. I've never asked you, I assume, because you went there. You're a big Missouri fan?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So I wanted to throw out, I try to update people on the UNLV transfers. So Jalen Catalan's playing for Missouri. Mm-hmm. About half the snaps. So he played about 29. It's not about. He played 29 snaps. I'm looking at the numbers. So he's a good player. And he's a guy. There was no eligibility thing with him. He had an injury year. So, but he is old. I think he's 23 years old now. So And you're seeing that more and more in college football. And I'll tell you, this is something we don't really put into handicapping early in the season. Mm-hmm. And that is how many teams have 30-plus transfers, and then how many of them are actually older guys. And I kind of wonder from both of you, is that a good thing or a bad thing? When you bring in an older guy, are you, okay, he's got experience, he's going to move in smoothly, or are there habits you got to break?
I would say, well, our friend Mr. Pavia in Nashville has turned out obviously one of the older guys in college football. Jeez, we talked about it yesterday. He's 40-1 to win the Heisman right now. I think I would make that bet. I would say on the offensive side of the ball, I actually think it works a little bit better because it feels like that offensive players have had an easier time moving from different offensive schemes than defensive players had so far. I'm not entirely sure why that's the case, but that's at least the feel that I've gotten so far and that's for young players and old players, but especially the older players. I mean, the older quarterbacks, for the most part, have been very successful, especially the high-end guys. I mean, Cam Ward was old last year, went from Wazoo to Miami and ended up being the first overall pick in the NFL draft because of that.
And he started in Incarnate Ward before Wazoo and John Mateer this year. And as far as old quarterbacks, I mean, the transfer rule doesn't necessarily apply, but Cam Rising was like, what, 32 when he finally finished? And, he played forever. So, and I mean, and it happens at every school. Oregon State had a seventh-year cornerback because he had been injured on two different occasions, plus the COVID year. That COVID year just extended some careers. The handicapping angle is what's, you know, interesting to me. It's maybe we get moved to a ranking system that doesn't start for the first 4 weeks, because the reality is like nobody has any idea what they're talking about, because these aren't repeat.
Justin,
teams.
I had to listen to a conversation today about the rankings and who was going to jump who, and one guy's like, can Alabama jump all the way up to number one if they beat Georgia? And I was like, I don't care. Yeah. But the rankings are irrelevant right now.
Totally.
Oh, but 100%. Alabama's 17th. Can they jump all? They're not 17th.
Yep.
They're whatever you want to make them.
Right.
You know what? I got him fourth. How about that?
Yep.
Coin flip. I mean, I'm basing it on results. I don't have him fourth, but it's just like this ratings nonsense. No rating should be out.
Yes.
I'm so glad the Big 12 said, they pointed to the injustice and stupidity of a preseason poll. You know what? We're not doing it.
Right.
This is nonsense. We're not doing a Big 12 preseason poll. No one knows.
Well, yeah, and they got completely embarrassed the previous year. So, I mean, it looked pretty silly not knowing, like, you know, who's good in their in their own
At BYU
league.
And Arizona State were bottom four teams in the preseason poll a year ago.
Yes.
Oops.
ASU is the bottom team, right?
Yeah.
And they end up winning the thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, again, from that handicapping perspective, like how are anybody setting any lines when you have a team that's got 30 to 50 new kids that were operating at either higher competition or lower competition, and now they got to blend in together for the first time on the field in the first game. Yeah, it seems difficult to me to hit lines accurately. Now, the Alabamas and the Georgias of the world, well, they're not losing 30 people to the transfer portal, except the 30 people they want to lose to the transfer portal. So there, it's a little bit different. But outside of the top 10, 15 teams, I mean, there's no consistency in the lineup and the roster for you to predict anything, in my opinion.
Well, it's also part of it. Just look at the books are putting up games of the year numbers a lot later during the summer. They're putting up futures a lot later in the summer than they had in the past, at least local here in town. And you're right. It's part of the reason that I think a lot of sharp bettors love betting the first 3 weeks of the year, because they're like, well, I'm going to trust my numbers. My numbers are better than what's going on behind the counter more times than not.
Pros versus Joe, or Pro versus Joe, is coming up. The pro's not here, Alex White. I'm not going to dub Jeff a pro.
Okay.
Simply because, well, Alex is in contest. She pays to go in contest. She's been basically named a pro by highfalutin people out there. Jeff can get to that point eventually. It's no dig on him.
She's better than me at this.
20 seconds. Real quick, Jeff.
Yeah.
Give me your leaner like on Alabama, Georgia.
Love Georgia. Love Georgia. I just think they're much better.
I'm with Georgia. I agree. You like Alabama?
Do trends carry over from era to era? Alabama's beaten Georgia 9 out of 10 games. But does it not matter because Kalen DeBoer is the guy?
I mean,
or is it in the Georgia skulls that, like, we never beat these freaking guys? Let's build on that. We got a Pro versus Joe coming up. Got the picks from the Joe, who's been damn good most of the time, and Justin Watkins. We're live here at Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Come on back with us. We'll get into some of the picks of the week. Heavy on the old Pac-12.
Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
I mean, there's so much football knowledge in this room. So much football knowledge. We got Justin Watkins paying homage every week to our good buddy Dave Koken with the Koken hat, the Kangol hat. He's had some good picks. He's had good moments. He saved me last week on Vikings and Bengals. I almost took the Bengals. I wound up taking the Vikings. Jeff Parles is here from South Point Studios. Here is the Battleborn Broadcast Center. So last week, I listened to you and kind of a fanish take on how Oregon State was going to get its arse kicked. So I laid the 35 with Oregon, and I did a double. I did a Pac-2 parlay because I also took Washington State plus over two. So that's the way. If you have a two-teamer, and I never do two-teamers, that's the way you lose. Lose both.
Yeah, yeah, lose
There's
both.
No hope.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did put a caveat, and I said, unless Oregon was nice.
Were they?
I actually think that they were.
Lanning was nice.
I don't think that they pulled out any trickery. Wow. They didn't put out the game plan was completely vanilla. They didn't show anything on tape for Penn State. They knew they had this game very early on, and they just eased through it. They didn't ever put their foot really on the accelerator in that game.
It's so weird that rivalry game is a look ahead game now.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how far that rivalry has fallen in just a very short period of time.
Oregon ruined it.
Yeah.
Big Ten ruined it.
I mean, that's when you say short period of time, it's hard to think that 2 years ago in this rivalry, Oregon State beat them and were ranked 10th in the nation.
Yeah.
2 years ago. And now they've been blown out. And they could have lost by 70. Like, if Oregon just turned on the Jets, could have lost by 70. So, as an Oregon State fan, it's a tough time. I don't know what's going to happen. I think there's going to be change in leadership. I don't know if that's good. You know,
did Malik, was that a real quote or was that a fake quote? Did Malik Murphy say he's looking to transfer at the end of the year? Like, bro,
no,
did you see that? That'd be fake.
I get a lot of fake
Oregon State stuff. I got done in a couple weeks ago by Trent Bray. Got fired. Like, someone put it out there, he got fired. And I was like, I got fired. I'm like, oh, crap, he didn't get fired.
Yeah.
Okay, your first pick's terrible. I'm going to say that right now.
What?
I hate this.
What? That's how you know
Hawaii,
it's good.
Hawaii is plus 6.5 at Air Force.
Yep.
Come on, bro. They're coming to the mainland.
Yep.
After the it's been kind of good, although they lost it. Fresno.
They've covered every game.
Yeah.
They've covered every game. So.
I think you're in trouble on this one. You're taking Hawaii?
I've been riding Hawaii all season long, and they haven't lost for me yet, so. I'm sticking with them. I think that they're, you know, everybody still believes they're that Hawaii of, you know, the last at least 5 years of a team that gets blown out by 40 basically every time they step on the field. They got several wins this year. Yes, they were at home. Air Force is a different animal. It does add elevation, especially coming from the islands. But I don't think Air Force is that good. And I'm gonna ride Hawaii until they cost me one.
Air Force's defense has been really terrible against the two Mountain West teams they played. 49 against Utah State. They couldn't, if they got even one stop last week against Boise, they would have had a shot to win that game outright. The line that just got totally steamed all week. But I'm with Cofield here. I think this is a good get right spot for Air Force.
Oh, then I feel great about this pick. When it seems so obvious to everybody else, I must be onto something. It's like every pick last week where I said, this seems so obvious to me, I was wrong on, you know? And so, other than the Vikings pick of the pros, I was wrong about all the ones I thought were so obvious. Okay, what else?
SEC, LSU, at Ole Miss. I'm with you on this one.
I think LSU, I mean, they're ranked fourth in the country, so it's hard to say that they're better than what they seem. I think this is an overvaluing of Ole Miss at home. LSU catching 1.5, which means that they think on a neutral site that what LSU is a 1-point favorite on a neutral site, maybe 2.5 at home. I think they win this game outright.
And probably a little bit more now at this point. Ole Miss probably gets 4 for home field would be my guess. So, but I'm opposite of you guys on this one, too. We talked about this earlier. Our guy Trinidad has been awesome since taking over as quarterback, the Ferris State kid, Trinidad Chambliss. I'm a little bit concerned about LSU. I don't think Nuss is healthy. That Clemson win is totally devalued because Clemson just stinks. This is a much better team in Ole Miss than I think we gave them credit for going into the year. Now Lane is playing the right quarterback.
Whit Weeks, the linebacker for LSU, wins. They win big, and then he dumps Kiffin's daughter. And he announces it in a postgame interview. Come on now.
All right.
It's not all fun and games, Lane.
Yeah.
It's not all fun and games in the SEC. It means more.
You might find it offshore. See if you can find a bet on that.
Ooh, this one. This is a tough read.
Oh, come on
here's
now.
Here's the Joe picks with Justin Watkins. Cal and Boston College. I watched a lot of that Cal-San Diego State game last week, and while I like Keava Sangapolatelli, boy, he played like a freshman. He thinks he can put the ball in anywhere. He was a disaster. Recovery time across country?
They won. They covered. So, you know what? I don't think Boston College is that good. They haven't really played well in any of their games yet. It is cross country, but you give me 6.5. The freshman's only going to continue to get better. And so, again, this I've been riding Cal, and I've been winning with them, so I'm going to continue to ride them.
Good luck. I have absolutely no clue on this game. If you told me that that Cal bounces back after that train wreck in San Diego last week and won the game outright, I wouldn't be shocked. If you told me Bill O'Brien finally gets his team correct after getting embarrassed in Palo Alto 2 weeks ago, coming off a bye and won by 2 touchdowns, wouldn't be shocked. I completely stayed away from this
game. Okay, probably smart. But I'm riding out Cal until they cost me.
Central Florida and Kansas State, are you getting into UCF a little too much because of the Carolina win?
Has nothing to do with UCF, has everything to do with Kansas State. I think Kansas State is terrible. I think that they're going to lose this game outright. This is a money line bet for me. Central Florida's catching 6, and I think they're going to beat them straight up.
I agree with you that Kansas State stinks, but Central Florida showed me. I don't care that they whipped up on Belichick last week. Week one, they beat Jacksonville State like 10-7. They beat an FCS team. At least they're playing the right quarterback now in Tavon Jackson.
That's right.
But, K-State should be winless right now. They were lucky to beat North Dakota in their only win this year. If you maybe play it, I would only take the points with UCF. I don't know if they can get there outright, but 6 feels like a lot, even though I don't take a lot from what they've done so far.
I'm going to make a kind of a jokey leap. You realize when K-State was over at the Farmageddon game in Ireland that Avery Young's dad and brother like had a fist fight?
Yeah.
Is there something more to this? Is there like family drama he's dealing with?
I mean, I would have to imagine, yes. He's like I have to imagine, yes. Your brother and your dad fist fight when you were 20 years old?
Here and there.
Fist fight?
Well, no, I'm making it up. My family's not that crazy.
Yeah.
No. I mean, the other extended family? Not for sure.
Oh, for sure.
They also weren't dealing with that. Who knows, they're making pizza or something. Yeah. They weren't throwing, Division I passes.
Yeah, I mean, number one, I don't think he has ever been that good of a quarterback. I think he was completely overrated last year. And he did, I would watch those games and I'd be like, man, he's not that good. And then his numbers would look good at the end of the game. And you're like, dang. It doesn't, he was 18 of 24. It felt like he was 18 of 36. It feels like he's very inaccurate. It feels like he, has to run more often for the first downs than he's able to throw for him, and if they can contain him as a runner, then he's not going to beat you as a passer. I felt that way even since last year, but he did win some games for them with his arm. But this year, it is all falling apart. I mean, I don't like any part of their game. I don't like their defense. Offensively, they can't do anything. And, you can say what you want about UCF, but at least they're winning the games they're supposed to win. Kansas State has been favored in all of their games and has only won one of their games. So I'm going to keep riding the trend here.
Let's keep it in the back pocket for next year. You lose in Ireland in week 0, you're going to have a terrible season. Obviously, Florida State last year, Navy 2 years ago, and now Kansas State having a complete nightmare so far.
Justin Watkins, Jeff Parles, Joe picks. No pro versus Joe, just the Joe picks. And we'll run them by the pro. We'll get her on text. Alex White not in this week. We talked about Oregon earlier.
Yeah.
Oregon getting 3.5 against Penn State. We know Jimmy Franklin's record against top 10 teams is terrible. Is there a coaching advantage here right off the bat, Lanning versus Franklin?
I hate to say it, but I think the answer is yes, that there is a coaching advantage. I think Lanning gets billed as one of the top 3 coaches in the country, and often, at least in the Northwest media, that's where the storyline goes. I don't think he's that good. I mean, I think he's got that good of a roster, and he's got that good of resources, and got that good of facilities, and he fully embraces it. And I don't think he's going anywhere. Like he'll never leave that Oregon job as long as they'll have him. But I do think he's better than Franklin. I do think he has better results in big games. I think he's got a better track record, and he's trending what I would say in the right direction, although I don't think this Oregon team is as good as last year's Oregon team. And they haven't yet played – oh, they did play in Happy Valley when they lost in the playoffs. So I think the number is right because it just – I can't pick a side on it. I think Penn State wins, but I think it's going to be real close.
Do either of you know a single person that says they're laying the 3.5 with Penn State this week?
Yeah.
I don't know a single person, which kind of makes me think that Penn State might be the right side here.
Yes.
I mean, look,
I'll probably do it, but there's times when I will just throw a bet away, a small bet, as a jinx, because I hate Penn State with every fiber of my being. So if they win in a blowout, I'm going to win. I hope they get crushed, but.
Well, it's, I want the exact opposite.
Well, obviously, you have rooting interest the other way.
Well, I got rooting interest of both sides. My dad's from Pennsylvania. So Penn State, I grew up being a fan of.
And sorry about my comments about Penn State. Well, it's my bad.
The interesting thing with Penn State through these first 3 weeks, like, look, they played three horrible teams, but they haven't shown anything. Like, what are they realistically doing? Like, it's just vanilla game plans. Their defense has been great, as they should be against these bad teams they played. Allers looked bad, but you know what? This is a whole different ballgame. You're going to use your stuff here against Oregon.
That's a good point. We don't know who they are yet.
Sorry. Last 20 seconds, Jeff. I know you wanted to react to this one. Comment this morning from Heather Dinich, essentially saying Penn State needs a win in this one because at that point, to make the CFP, they'd have to beat Ohio State. I don't buy that.
Complete nonsense. They also get Indiana at home, which is going to carry a lot more weight now than it did going into the season.
Yep. Two loss team from the Big Ten. When you're a glamour team, they'll be fine getting in. They could probably get in at 9-3 with three close losses to the teams we just mentioned.
Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Oh, damn. We're already getting texts from Alex White. I'm really excited to see what she thinks of your picks. Hope she's a nofer on all of them. We'll update that in the grab bag. We officially do Pro versus Joe. Okay. Circa Million card, five-team card with the spread. I always get leans and likes from you guys, and then we kind of collaborate. Justin Watkins is here. It's ESPN Las Vegas. Jeff Parles as well. Cardinals.
Yes. I got a home dog. Seattle, okay. They looked good last week against, you know, a terrible opponent, one of the two worst opponents in the league. So I don't put any much stock in the fact that they were able to put up 40 points there. They're inconsistent. And I think that the Cardinals can beat anyone on any given day, and you know, you give me plus points at home, and I'm okay. You know, division opponent. Let's figure it out.
This is a brutal game to try to figure out handicapping wise. I liked when it was at pick. I thought that both of these teams are even. Seattle's defense looks really good so far. Arizona's offense, I would have liked to have seen more through the last 3 weeks, but you know, Kyler Murray has played well against Seattle through the years. So, oh boy, I would, if you made me bet it, I would take Seattle just because they're an underdog. I think if Seattle is the underdog, I'd be taking the point or whatever it is with the Hawks.
So you take Cardinals?
I'll take the Cardinals in this spot. Yes, I'll take the points at home. Home divisional dogs are usually pretty good.
I jumped on the Giants not knowing the quarterback decision on Monday, although I said on the air I thought it would be Jackson Dart. Am I a moron here? Giants plus 6.5. Do I need to stay away from the Jackson Dart biz?
I love that pick. That's my second favorite pick is I think the Giants. And I'm a Charger fan, but like the Chargers are built to win, I think, in ugly ways. They don't try to run up the score. They just do what they do well. Possession, they will score, but they got that great defense. I'm a little worried about Jackson Dart.
I'm a lot worried.
Being the transition, and that's the week I decided to bet on him. But I think this number is real high, 6.5 at home. And I do think, hey, listen, I love the Chargers, but I do think they're getting maybe a little bit too much love.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
They are. What are they to win in the division? I put it in a tweet today. It looks like minus 195. The Chiefs are like plus 275. Everyone relax. Here's the problem with the Chargers. What I'm really worried about is the right side of their offensive line.
Yeah.
A lot of what they do with the dink and dunk is because Herbert's like, I can't freaking drop back without having a move to throw a deep pass.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
And a Giants defensive line? I mean, that's the one thing that's showing out for the Giants. They're good.
Oh, yeah. Look, the Giants, Lawrence is the best defensive tackle in the NFL. The Abdul Carter's look good. Burns made a lot of good plays last week.
Oh, my God. Burns trucked so many dudes last week. Yeah. And then, that was Thibodeau.
No, it was Burns was incredible.
Like, oh, yeah, that guy too.
Yeah. Look, I would be taking with the Giants. I'm curious to see if we see seven.
I think I bet it too early.
Yeah, but you know what? Who knows? We have no idea what we're getting out of Jackson Dart. Obviously, he's looked very skittish in the few steps. He's been
every
on the
time
field.
He drops back and runs.
He just runs immediately. He's been very skittish. But you know what? It's a different animal when you're the full time star.
Yeah, you switch to the rookie. And speaking of seven, I want to throw one out at you.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, give me the Titans plus +7 at Houston. I think that's a big number.
But the Texans need to win.
The Texans have needed to win last week too.
It's like it's not a handicapper.
It's like they can't.
They're desperate, man.
They can't win. I mean, I bet them last week because of that logic. I was like, they have to win as a division opponent. Like, dude, that's a lot of points. The Titans, I think, have enough playmakers to stay in any given game, even against some of the elite. They won't win most of those games, but 7 points is a lot.
Feels like a ton.
Yeah,
I'm just concerned Cam Ward's going to throw a pick six in this game that flips this thing the wrong way. It did last week against Indianapolis right out of the chute. But boy, that touchdown with Houston, who can't score? Wow.
Justin, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Keep building the hat collection. Thanks for having us out here to Battleborne Broadcast Center. We'll discuss via text my other leans. Probably the Commies, the Saints plus the big number. And I'm back and forth on Jags and Niners. Up next, John Von Tobel is in as we'll break things down in the NFL from a JVT standpoint.
Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
This is one of my favorite hours of the week. Get the Joe versus the Joe, because I'm kind of a Joe. Justin Watkins is a Joe. So we go back and forth. I hammered him for that. So did Jeff for that Hawaii. I mean, come on, Hawaii on the road against Air Force. But we got a lot of the same games, some crossover games here. We'll get to them inside of 5 minutes with John Von Tobel. Of course, his spot every week is brought to you by our buddies at the Westgate. You can listen to JBT's Saturday Football Preview Show, 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings. That's why it's called a Saturday Football Preview. And then I am hosting the Sunday Football Preview again Sunday at 8 a.m. getting ready for Football Central.
Well, let's just kick it right off. Let's start with what we were just talking about. Giants and Chargers. Chargers 6.5-point favorites, JVT. Jackson Dart, of course, making his debut. What do you like here?
Oh, man, listening to you guys talk about this game, what are we doing here? There's a couple of things that we have to discuss. The first of which, Steve, the Chargers are 3-0 in the division. That's why they're $1.80 favorites. They're off to an undefeated start, and they're already halfway done with their division games. They've been great. Sweet. The rest of these teams have stunk. So, yeah, they deserve it. They're 3-0 in the division.
Did you bet it? You're going to bet it now? I mean, it's late to bet it. It's stupid to bet it now.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything's been priced in at this point right now. It all depends on what you think about what Kansas City is. If you think Kansas City really, really stinks, then I think you bet it. But right now, I think we're probably where we should be with this market, as opposed to maybe a little too high. Let me call out the New Yorker. Abdul Carter's been good. He's been a no-show. Is he even playing? I don't even know where he's been. He is one of the lowest-graded rookie edge rushers. There's six others in front of him when it comes to some of the PFF stuff. I'll lay it with the Chargers. The Giants stink. Jackson Dart's a rookie. It's the third-best defense in the National Football League. I think he's going to get smoked here. And enough of this Cam scat-a-boo, scat-a-bow nonsense. It's all over.
Oh, man. Well, first off, I'll just say this. I want to actually piggyback on your last point, because we were kind of talking about this off the air a little bit. Isn't it kind of ridiculous here for the Giants, where this is a year where Brian Daboll has to save his job, and now we're in week 4, and he has a rookie quarterback and a fourth-round rookie running back as the anchors of his offense now that Malik Nabers is a little bit banged up, JVT?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is what these teams do when they're poorly run. They draft or they keep guys over a year too long, and then they force them to work with a quarterback that they maybe didn't necessarily want, and then they're going to fire Daboll, and then they're going to put in a regime that maybe didn't want Jackson Dart, and they're going to start the cycle all over again. I mean, it's arguably what Chicago's doing right now. Who knows if Ben Johnson really wanted Caleb Williams? Maybe it was just best opportunity as a head coach, but the Giants made their own bed, and now they're stuck in it.
Eagles, Buccaneers, what are you thinking?
I think you sent this over to me, Steve, and this has been the topic of this game. It's the Breaking Bad meme, right? He can't keep getting away with this. I love this Bucs team. I've got a ticket on them from before the season started as the number one seed in the NFC. But, man, these injuries are starting to pile up. Now, it does seem like Tristan Wirfs could be coming back, except that right tackle, and it does seem that Chris Godwin could be out there at wide receiver. I think if you're going to give me those two out there, I think they're a little bit more live, but this defense is still pretty middle of the pack by a lot of different metrics. Jalen Hurts coming off of a very good game, especially that second half. First half, not so much, where they were abysmal, didn't convert a third down, and had, I think, 1.9 yards per play in the first half against the Rams. But I think there's just too many absences for this Bucs team to deal with, even with those two dudes coming back from a long absence. So give me Philadelphia.
Will the Rams and the Colts run, frankly, just smoke them?
Man, I am, this is it. Like when I say this, like this is the ultimate litmus test. This is a Colts team that has been wildly upgraded by the betting market. They closed as 6-point favorites against Tennessee last week, a number that was a half point higher than what the Rams closed as, and they covered it. And so now here we are, you know, depending on what you think home field is worth, I measure it at about 1.5 points. This is one where these two teams are only 2 points away from each other, maybe a little bit less. I think that's probably a skosh too high for Indianapolis. It's not the best number to lay, but give me the Rams. I think I'm going to play on this really cheap number. What was this 3 weeks ago? It was closer to a touchdown, and now here we are at 3.5.
John Von Tobel, the host of the Saturday Football Preview Show. John, tell people what's going on at Westgate for all these football games.
Absolutely fantastic. Obviously, you have many different spots to watch the games. You can go to the theater. You can watch it in the sports book. We have lots of different food specials. $2 hot dogs for all you guys to get your glizzy on. $20 buckets in the Bud, so that's going to be good as well. So bring your Bud, get some Buds. Absolutely fantastic spot. It's my favorite spot. If I could stay there all day, I would. My pesky child has these baseball games that somebody signed him up for that I can't stay and hang out every day. But I'm there on Sundays, too. Absolutely love it. So go on down and say what's up, because I'm going to be there from 8 to 9 every single Saturday.
The Saints are terrible. You're going to lay the 15.5?
I am, man, I don't know what I would do, I want to do with this, because I wanted to make the case for New Orleans last week in Seattle, and they got mollywopped, curb stomped. I don't know what other, you know, adjective term you want to use. I think the Bills are kind of in cruise control, but I will say this. I'd rather take New Orleans only because of that. The Bills don't have to put their best foot forward. This is a very easy schedule. They're very injured on defense and relatively thin. I think this is a team that, much like we saw against Miami, I think we saw a little hint of that. It was like, oh, wait, like we're in a tight game here against this team. Maybe we should turn this on a little bit. And got lucky with a roughing the pass or a punter call near the end of that game. I'm going to ask the Saints to stay inside of this number. I know it's not the best situation. I know the Bills have some extra rest coming off Thursday, but that's a big number for an NFL game. So give me New Orleans.
What do we do with the Jaguars and the 49ers? I know the Niners are 3-0. I haven't been overly impressed. And Jacksonville, somehow 2-1, 3.5 with the Niners here.
I mean, I think in all honesty, you probably bet it under. But if we're talking about a side, it's hard. I'm with you, Jeff. Like, one of the things that I've really liked about San Francisco that I keep harping on is the fact that this defense is, and I think still will be, elite without Bosa in the lineup, despite the torn ACL. You know, guys like Huff have come in and done a pretty good job in terms of filling in that role, being back in solid system. But I think you can only, same thing like we're talking about Tampa Bay, deal with so many absences at once until it starts to catch up with you. From a side standpoint, I think my arm is twisted enough that I would bet on Jacksonville here. But I got to say, 2 weeks where the Jags have not looked overtly impressive. You blow the game against Cincinnati, and then you're in this ugly dogfight with what, dare we say, could be the worst team in the AFC South in the Houston Texans. I'm not overtly impressed, but I still got to go with Jacksonville here.
Well, you segue perfectly. Texans set a touchdown against the Titans in one of the two ineptables here this week, JVT.
Yeah, and well, the interesting development here is obviously Brian Callahan giving up play calling duties for Tennessee, so he's not going to do that. You know, we were talking to some folks out from Tennessee here today about just, hey, what is this going to now look like? Taylor Zarzer, the play-by-play guy for the Titans, had brought that up, and that Callahan wanted to focus more on game management, which he should. I mean, last week, settling for 260-yard field goals and trot and fly out there to shank those things is absolutely ridiculous on some fourth and manageables. So I wonder if that's going to be a little bit better for Tennessee. Cam Ward, though, I think this is going to be pretty rough. He's faced a litany of very good defenses, and it has not been great. I don't think it's a play-calling thing. I think it's, hey, we face the Rams, we face the Titans, or we face the Broncos. We now are facing one of the best defenses in the NFL and the Texans. I think that you can use the Texans as a survivor, but I heard you guys earlier, 7, like a full 7, seems a little rich. We lean toward Tennessee, but I think the Texans are a really good survivor play this week.
John Von Tobel up on ESPN Las Vegas. The early game, you got an angle, 6:30 kickoff, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Ireland.
Yeah, so this has been my thing, and it hasn't. I didn't come into the season thinking I was going to do this. It's just worked out this way. I have bet against the Steelers every week, Steve, and I should be undefeated. That is a ridiculous loss to the New England, or win, excuse me, over the New England Patriots last week, in which they are, again, like doubled up, outgained by nearly 2 yards per play, and yet they give, or they receive, 4 lost fumbles from the New England Patriots in a game they win 21-14. This team stinks. And now we get Brian Flores, who, by the way, you can find at 9-1 to win assistant coach of the year. And this defense, which is brilliant, to go and take on an offense that has been among the worst in the NFL, a quarterback that has statistically been among the worst in the NFL. I think Flores is going to have another gem lined up for this team. And by the way, the Steelers defense also in the 20s in a lot of key metrics. Carson Wentz looks solid against the Cincinnati Bengals. Give me the Vikings here under a field goal. I think that's a very cheap number.
Flores. John Morton, bro. I'm kidding. You're really betting assistant coach of the year in the NFL? I love this.
Yeah, well, dude, I think it's a fun market. It's a new market. Yeah. The award's kind of new. But Flores has done such a good job with that defense. I mean, he's Picasso right now with that thing. It feels like he can't do anything wrong.
College football games. John's got some good ones here. John Von Tobel's up on ESPN Las Vegas with Jeff Parles and Cofield. Cal and Boston College.
Dude, okay. This is so interesting. I think I talked to you about this last week, right, where Cal goes to take on San Diego State. They get off this tremendous start on the year. They closed as 14-point favorites against San Diego State last week and got whooped. They got shut out. And so now you have to make the trek after a loss all the way across the country to take on Boston College. I think this might be another spot where I'm willing to go against Cal. Look, these road trips in the NFL, they're not really that difficult. But for a team like Cal to go out on the road, lose that game, and then now have to go out east in that direction with that. I understand Boston College is not any great shakes. They went out there and lost to Stanford, right? But I think that this is a situational spot that begs me to go in the other direction. The market's been a little too high on Cal ever since this beginning portion of the year. I'll take one more shot here. I took 14 with SDSU, and we'll go one more time against the Cal Golden Bears and the Cal Rhythm.
Well, how about the other team from that game late night in San Diego? San Diego State has a bizarre road trip to DeKalb this week to take on Northern Illinois, and the Aztecs are a small favorite, JVT.
Yep, it's the other side of the coin, right, Jeff? Which is like, okay, the market despised you so much that after a bye, it made you a 14-point underdog at the Snap, as I like to call it, Snapdragon Stadium, and you won that game outright. And now you got to make this weird trip, as you called it, to NIU against an abysmal offensive team, by the way, and you're a road favorite? Like, so either NIU is one of the worst, if not the worst, power-rated teams in the country, which might be the case, or the market just has no idea what it's doing with the San Diego State team. I tend to think that it just doesn't really have an accurate gauge of what SDSU is at this point right now. I'm holding out for 3, but right now, if we're talking about it, it's NIU. Like, I'll take a shot here against San Diego State, a team whose power rating has been all over the place in a weird and difficult road trip after a big win.
Who's super confident right now in Colorado State with quarterback issues? They're laying 6. I know Wazoo just got his teeth kicked in. Where are you going on this one?
So I am very interested in this. I think you know this, Steve. I wrote about this in our Mountain West guide over at VSiN. I have an under on a win total for Colorado State at 6.5. I think Braden Fowler Nicolosi was a little fool's gold, and he finally got benched for this Brousseau kid. But if you look at the 2 drives which he led against UTSA, two touchdown drives, but an average depth of target of just 3.5 yards downfield, and it was a lot of dinking and dunking and yards after catch. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think in a first start after he got benched, which, by the way, I thought it was going to be the kid, was it from Akron or whatever it was that they brought in the transfer portal that was pushing Braden Fowler Nicolosi in the offseason, but I guess that's not the case. I just think it's a lot for a team that I don't respect that much. So give me Wazoo with the quarterback issues and everything, and I think Norvell's a little overrated as a coach. I think this is too big of a number for a team that I don't like.
So think about this for an hour on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. John Von Tobel, fresh on a lot of coffee, just going and going and going. And when you go out there, John, for the listeners, can you tell them about the booths and the pods? Because I enjoy those.
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely fantastic. I like to sit there all the time. You and I did it as well. I get it on the cheap and go to the website at the Westgate and get everything possible. Get your boys together. Dude, you get a group of 5, you're all set, man. It's easy.
Westgate is the home of the JVT Saturday Football Preview Show. About 20 seconds left. You got to play on Stanford and San Jose State.
Walker Egan stinks. Like we kind of saw this coming from a mile away if you really looked at his numbers. I know it's weird, but these are all great games. Give me Stanford. I think San Jose State, another team I didn't believe in, is a little overrated.
All right, John, off to watch some Little League. What do you got tonight?
Nothing, just got some studying stuff to do. You know, my kid, they got their first win, Steve. He's actually a pretty good contact hitter.
Nice. Lefty or righty?
Righty. And he wants to be a pitcher.
Is that right? Does he have a hose?
Yeah, dude, he might. I don't know in comparison to his peers, but he does throw it pretty hard.
It's quite athletic stock he's coming from. John, congrats on having a really future baseball star. There you go. Thanks, John.
See ya.